It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
The dynamic duo.
Don't feed me crap.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Felger and Matt. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Broken bad, little loop rock goes walls, and he'll run it down. The final play of the evening. Tampa Bay wins again by a final score of 4-1. They have taken the first game series.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. Another night, another loss for the Red Sox. 4-1 this time to the Tampa Bay Rays. Red Sox are limping to the finish line here in the first half. They've lost 7 of 9. Am I correct in saying that they're now out of the playoffs? Is that right? Or are they tied for the last spot?
No, they're tied for second. Yeah, there's a three-way tie.
Three teams are tied for the second wild card spot, which means only two of those three would be in the playoffs. But yeah, I don't know how the full tiebreaker permutation would go. Yeah, seriously.
I don't dwell on the standings all that much until they're out of it. Then I ask.
Baltimore's getting real close in the rearview mirror. So, I didn't realize that until Carrabas was here yesterday.
No, they're over 500 now. And the Mariners have won 10 straight.
Mm-hmm.
So the standings in the American League have changed. But the bottom line is, again, the Red Sox have lost 7 out of 9 here. They lose again. And to me, the real discussions here about the Red Sox are more big picture than they are short term. It's about how are they running the organization, where it's going, what they're going to be going forward, that sort of thing. So before I even get to the particulars on that, because Jones and I were talking about this a little bit last night on the Baseball Hour. Paul, how do you feel about the Red Sox? What's your biggest take on the Red Sox right now?
Yeah, my biggest fear is just from afar is the whole thing with Devers, Bogarts, you know, Martinez. You know, like I feel like the lineup is really good, and when those guys are in it and those guys are hitting, you know, things look really good, like in June. And what I worry about is not retaining that talent. Again, we go back to the, you know, you're only as good as your talent. You can have philosophies all you want, and some of them are really sound. But if you don't have talent to execute it, I worry what happens if they don't pay these guys. And, you know, Martinez probably, you know, he looks all but gone, right? And then we have a little while to find out what's going to happen with Bogarts and Devers. But Devers in particular, man, like, there aren't many better hitters in the league.
Correct.
Than him.
Okay.
And I just I worry about what that lineup would look like if you try to plug in, you know, some analytic, you know,
right,
God in place of the way he hits.
Right. So you're worried, like a lot of people, that they are becoming the Boston Rays.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. That they are going to basically overhaul this whole operation, let all these big money players go, and plug in cheap, you know, cheaper competitive talent to go, let's just say 88-74, 90-72, maybe squeak into the playoffs and lose. Right?
Right.
Jones, do you agree that this is the concern that the Red Sox, like when people say they're worried about them becoming the Rays, and listen, I'm worried about it too. I'm not telling you I'm not. But when people say they're worried about the Red Sox becoming the Rays, like, what do you envision their payroll being?
Oh, I mean, higher than Tampa, but probably below the luxury tax, which I think is mostly inexcusable around here in this market. And I just see them losing out on big-ticket free agents. I mean, that's really how I see it. They're not going to go all the way down to Tampa's payroll, but they're also not going to be competitive for, you know, big-ticket free agents when they hit the market. They did sign Story. I still think that's unique and more of a hedge against Bogarts than anything, but that's how I envision them being. Tampa North is lowering their payroll and, again, missing out on a lot of the highly sought-after free agents.
Okay, so but to me, this is like a fundamental question. And by the way, let me just tell you that I agree with you, Paul, on Devers in particular. If you said to me you're keeping only one guy.
Devers.
He's the one. He's definitely the one. He's what, 25, 26?
He just mashes the ball.
Well, he's left-handed, and he can hit anything. Okay, so there's no reason to sign Devers. No reason to if Devers costs $300 million.
No reason not to.
Right. What did I say? No reason to sign him?
Yes.
Yeah, I meant not to. If he costs $300 million, you pay him $300 million. Okay, that's the deal. Sorry. And I always have believed that the Red Sox should be in the market for every kind of player. Whether the guy is a superstar, whether you got to trade for him in another system, you should have the resources to go out and do all of this. Now, the building of the farm system in that way, I agree with. You should have enough talent in your farm system where if Juan Soto wants to get out of Washington and you have to give up elite prospects to go get him, well, then you go get Juan Soto. Okay, that's how they got Pedro. That's how they got Chris Sale. They had prospects in their system. They should make those deals.
Yep.
So the idea of like running the farm system down to the ground, I've never said that. I don't ever want to see them do that. That's idiotic. Of course you should build a good farm system. The question is, you should, you know, how far do you go? Do you have to be number one in baseball? Or if you get to number five, is that good enough? Number 10, that's good enough. You have enough prospects to make the kinds of deals you want to make. This idea that they would somehow become the $140 million Red Sox, to me, is outrageous.
No.
I don't think there's any way that can happen. But that's the sense I get in talking to people. They're going to go cheap. Okay, so let's play it out.
But again, cheap for them, I think, is what people are saying, because I feel that way. Cheap for them. Not cheap compared to Tampa. They're going to spend more than Tampa. Cheap for them.
Okay, so then that gets into semantics. But again, so people say they're not going to sign Bogarts and Devers. If they let both go, like, they're screwed. They're screwed. Unless they go out and spend big money on some other free agent that's out there.
Right. And
okay, but then they're not Tampa Bay.
No,
right?
If you sign Aaron Judge, you're not Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they're not going to be Tampa. Jones is right. They're not going to be Tampa Bay in terms of their payroll. But and here's on the flip side. I said I'm worried about, you know, losing all of those guys. If money is a real issue there and they want to sort of cut back a little bit, their payroll is going to go down, right? Because they're going to have guys, you know, next year they potentially could have a starter in like Duran. You know, what's the first baseman? How do you pronounce it? Is it Cassius?
Cassius.
Okay. They could have Tristan Cassius as their starting first baseman. God knows they don't have a first baseman now. So you could have a lower payroll next year, even kind of status quo. And that gives you money to go out and get this stuff. And I think that they will do that. I don't think that they'll bottom out and go down to like a Tampa or an Oakland payroll level. I don't ever see that happening in Boston.
Okay. I get the sense of that some people do think that's going to happen. Like, God bless him. But every time I hear Shaughnessy talk about it, I want to pull his hair out. Like, no, because Dan says they're cheaping out.
It's a lot of work.
Dan, what are you talking about? Their payroll is $240 million. So cheaping out is the wrong way to say it. Okay, Jones.
Yeah.
It's about the way they spend their money. It's not the amount they're spending. So if you want to tell me where they're not going after superstar players anymore and they wouldn't give Mookie Betts a $300 million contract, bang, you're right. That's what it is. But if they're taking Mookie Betts' $300 million and giving three guys $100 million contracts, they're still spending the money. Okay, so are they number one in baseball in payroll?
No.
They're what, fourth or fifth behind the Mets? I'm not even sure the Yankees are ahead of them anymore.
Yeah, Mets, Dodgers, and Yankees, I thought they were fourth.
Okay, so they're right there. Like, it's not an absence of spending. It's about the superstar contract. That's what it's about. Will they go out and spend that money on the superstar? So this, when people say, you know, I can't believe they're going to let Bogarts and Devers go. And I might be stupid. And in fact, you could take the might out of there. Okay, we know I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So, and again, Paul, feel free to jump in at any point and tell me this is sunshine.com. Now I'm an employee for Nesson. The tables have turned, Paul. So what I would tell you is that, and maybe I'm just thick-headed, if the Red Sox don't sign Bogarts and they don't sign J.D. Martinez, Are they going to compete next year with Rafi Devers, Tristan Casas, and who else? I don't know. Like, you know, whoever's playing, Trevor Story? Like, is that enough?
No.
No way!
I mean, they borderline don't have enough right now.
And then a year later, they're going to lose Devers, and they're going to win. They're going to contend with the Yankees and Toronto and everybody else with Tristan Casas and Nick York and Jaron Duran. No shot! And if they think they're going to do it, they're out of their freaking minds.
See, what I'm worried about is not like they'll bring in replacements and they'll spend some money, but it's some of the pitchers we were talking in one of the breaks. You know, Michael Walker is a guy that was that like $10 million?
Seven.
Okay, so Garrett Richards last year was 10, right?
Correct.
Like that's not cheap. Like the Tampa Bay's can't necessarily throw $10-15 million at some washed up guy. Now I know that I'm not talking, it never happens. But generally the teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, you can go out and sign, you know, a Corey Kluber who was once great, you know, has been hurt. Well, it's an insurance. Nate Eovaldi was a little like that. You know, like we can bank on this guy getting his stuff back, and it's worked out for Eovaldi. He's been great. But I worry that they're going to do it that way. Let's see if we can sign a replacement for Bogaerts for half the price, but we think he's more than half the player, you know, in a
it's better value.
They'll spend money.
Yeah, it's better value.
But I don't think they'll have the same talent.
Right. Like Trevor Story at $23 million is worth more than Bogaerts at 32.
Perfect. Right.
Okay. Wrong. He's not. And so it's about the superstar player. And so if you're worried
keep saying that, but like this is the first year they've been in the luxury tax in a few years. So if they dip back below it next year and let Bogaerts walk because they're cheaping out to sign Story instead of Bogaerts, then I am going to say they're cheaping out. They're back below the luxury tax like they've been the few years previous to this one.
Totally agree.
Then we'll jump back on them. And
totally
I'm not
agree.
Ruling out they'll dip back below. They might dip below this year. Tomasi wrote that they might dip below this year.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that they are going to trade off J.D. Martinez at the All-Star break when they're running for a playoff spot and you know, just to get under the luxury tax. And Jones, if they do, they should have their lungs ripped out.
Good.
They should have their lungs ripped out. That would be absolutely insulting to the fan base, to the uniform personnel, to everybody involved. That would be a joke.
That could get a sucks and blows on TV.
So
that
look,
that could do it, Jones.
Yeah, if the Red Sox think that they can replace guys like Bogaerts and Devers with the offensive equivalent or positional equivalent of Michael Walker, forget it. You want to tell me the analytics model, the diamond in the rough thing, can work? Yeah, fine, for mediocre talent. Where are the superstars going to come from? You got to draft and develop those, or you got to sign them as free agents. And outside of Marcelo Mayer, who they got with the number 4 pick, I don't think they're going to get a lot of superstars picking 29th and 30th. Now, they may. Mike Trout was like the number 25 pick or whatever the hell he was in the draft. But the reality is that's going to take a while. Nobody's got the patience for that here. Like, if they let Bogaerts and Martinez both walk, well, then they're porked. And you know what? There'll be a boring product and their ratings will take a hit, and so will their attendance. That's the payback. I hope they know that. Anyway, I'm going on and on. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on the Red Sox and the Patriots when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, this pitch up, popping away. Devers going to try to go to third. They're going to get him. He is out at third base. Nice recovery by Mejia. And Diaz put the tag on Devers.
Yet another sloppy play from the Red Sox. Had a number of them here over the last couple of nights. And frankly, I'd say over the last week. Didn't exactly play great at the beginning of that Yankee series either. And I would argue that a good chunk of the Red Sox wins in the last month have come from the opposition basically puking on themselves. The Cubs pitcher threw the ball into right field to win that game in the finale of that series. In a couple of the Tampa games, the Rays had meltdowns. Then the Yankees had meltdowns. The point is, I haven't really seen the Red Sox beat a team in a long time. I haven't seen them beat a team in a long time.
I mean, they couldn't lose in June, and otherwise it's been really a lot of mediocrity.
And last night it was Devers who, cranius rectus is what I think that Matt McCarthy calls it. Open cheeks, insert head. So that's what that was, running second or third. He was out by a mile. It wasn't even close.
So the last two nights you had the Verdugo play at third and then this Devers play at third. Base running, like what is it? What is McCarthy's?
Cranius rectus.
There you go. And then you had the two plays defensively.
Correct.
You know, Franchi throwing the ball home, to me, wasn't like the most egregiously bad decision that I've ever seen. I don't know how that ball gets by the catcher.
Well, it's both, right? Because he wasn't expecting it.
Well, what exactly are you expecting when the ball's in play?
He's expecting the guy to run the ball back in and keep the runner at third. You know, that's what he's expecting.
The play last night, you don't really even see that play in high school. Like, a guy's running, and he scores from first on a single.
I mean, it was horrible, Paul. It was horrible. And so,
that one live. I was like, oh,
no, I mean,
it for me on that game.
Yeah, these are atrocious plays. And, you know, so will they play better? Or, like, I'll say the same thing I said early in the year. They're not this bad, although they might be this bad against the division. Jones, what's their record in the division now? 11-23?
11-23, 2-7 against the Rays. They have not won a series yet this year against the American League East, though they did have that split against New York, which we got to give them credit for. But no, when they play good teams, a.k.a. the division, they stink. Baltimore, by the way, is not a bad team now. Baltimore is over 500, I think.
Yeah, 45-44.
I think it's the latest they've been over 500 in like a decade.
They are 45-44.
Since 1971.
Like, the whole division's good. The whole division's good. There's not that many teams over 500 in the American League East. And what do you know? The Red Sox stink against every single one of them. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I'm starting to feel that fifth place is in play. That's what I feel right now. I hope not, but it might be in play.
They'll get some of these guys back, and they're right. I don't know that they're as good as they were in June.
Look, if Baltimore,
I think they were playing over their heads, but they're not this bad.
If Baltimore passes them, they should sell.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in the next 3 days, is it?
Well, only two games back.
Is that what the difference is?
Baltimore's only two games back.
Two games, and you play Tampa tonight and then three with the Yankees, right?
Wow, I didn't realize it was
Yeah, Baltimore's 17.5 out of first. The Red Sox are 15.5 out of first. That's where they're at.
Like, if you go 1-3 in those four games, I don't know.
Wow. Wally's in Fall River. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, Tony? You've been around here a long time. You're a smart baseball man.
Oh, thank you.
Chaim Bloom is not Brian Cashman. Yankees get a big lead. They'll probably still go out and get a starting pitcher at the deadline. But Chaim Bloom will keep us in suspense. We all know he's tight. He wants to get a Ralph Lauren shirt or a Tommy Bahama shirt at Walmart for $20. It ain't going to happen. But you got to keep Bogey and Devers. They're like blood brothers. I mean, you let Bogey go. Who are you going to replace him? You going to go out and sign Carlos Carrera or Trey Turner? I don't think so. But it's all in Chaim Bloom's hands now. I mean, we all know he's probably still got his paper boy money under his mattress. But he's going to have to do something. I mean, this team is in a little free fall right now, and everybody expects them to do something.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. You just say, because you don't take a breath. I mean, I'm happy to keep you, but to take pause. just pause. So, look, again, let's make something clear here, too. Bloom was hired because ownership wants to run the team a certain way. You don't bring in a guy like that.
Well, that's how they were feeling that day, because before that they brought in Dombrowski, and before that they had Ben Cherington, and before that they had Theo, and so that's how they were feeling at that time, but there's no overall philosophy with it.
So, Jones, I'll give you that they've gone back and forth. What's that?
That's how you used to be on the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. No. Some guy called up the other day, Paul, and says, I miss the old Naz. And I said, so do I.
You're the only one.
Yep, and I said, so do I. I miss him, too.
Nah, I feel your pain.
But the back and forth thing, Jones, you're not wrong about that. Theo was more in the middle.
He was. He 100% was.
Theo was more in the middle. I was hoping that, that's what I want Bloom to be. Dombrowski was too far on the other end. Can we find a guy who's in the middle?
So what did you think, go back to, like, Andrew Friedman? When he left Tampa and he went to the Dodgers, do you think he did a good job of sort of doing that? But like, that's what I'm. How long?
Yes, that's what they should be, Paul.
That's what I'm hoping that you get with Bloom.
How long did it take for him? Like, was he waiting to make a splash? That might be worth looking at. Like, how long did it take for him to get the Tampa out of him and go, oh, okay, real baseball market. Like, I can spend money.
Yeah.
How long did that take?
So that's a good question, Jones. I don't know. The only other thing I would tell you is that Friedman had been the GM of the Rays before he went.
And Bloom, right.
Bloom didn't have the experience.
Just the assistant.
A good point, good distinction. And the first thing they asked Bloom to do out of the chute is to make the Mookie trade, which is not ideal.
Yes.
And that was not on him.
I worry about young executives in any sport, but, obviously my background's in baseball. I worry about young executives because they fall in love with their prospects. And it's purely about draft and development, which is a big part of it.
Right.
It's not the only avenue. Joe's in Vermont. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think a couple things are clear. First of all, I think we found out that Story cannot replace Xander at the plate. But he is he's a good to great second baseman and a great spot in the lineup.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to stop you for 1 second, because before you go on, let me ask you a question. Do you think Story can replace Bogarts at shortstop?
Defensively, I think he's got more range, but I don't know. It's not like I don't think you're losing much there defensively by getting rid of Xander. But like at the plate, I don't. Story's nothing like that. He's a bad ball hitter, but Xander's, like, a much more valuable at bat, I think.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let me ask you guys this question quickly. Okay, give me short answers, and then we'll get into more depth on the other side. Can Story replace Bogarts at shortstop defensively?
Yes.
He would upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be a better defensive shortstop.
Okay, I don't think he can. 617-779-0985. I'll tell you why when we come back. Jones has got your headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mads.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Runner goes.
And right through that hole, the diving missed by Downs. Low to third. And they're going to try and send him. And he is going to score as he dives home. Red Sox kind of fell asleep there. Throw came into third base as he had already taken off. And they stole that run. It is 4-1 Tampa Bay. Heads up.
Yeah, this is just very interesting. I was a little confused. What they teach you sometimes, too, like with bogeys, like if the ball's down, you let the ball go through and not try to take it or if it's over your head. But right there, he's got to come get that ball.
So it was that play last night, too, if you missed that one. That was a good one. That was in the seventh inning. The Rays extended their lead to 4-1. Not that it mattered. The Red Sox weren't going to score anyway. But just to give you the background, two outs, man on first. Man on first, two outs. First base, man is on first base.
What bit? First base, got it.
Yeah. Yandy Diaz singles on, and I'm reading from the game log now, sharp ground ball to right field. Josh Lowe runs to third. No. Josh Lowe scores from first base on a single to right field because Ref Snyder kind of half-assed it, lobbed the ball back in the infield, and I heard Uke there say, you know, Bogarts has got to come and get that ball. It's kind of lobbed in. The bottom line is Ref Snyder's got to get the ball in quickly and with some force.
Rob Snyder.
Oh, yeah, Rob Snyder. Sorry. I was like, what the hell are you talking about, Jones? Right, Deuce Bigelow there in right field needs to get the ball in much more quickly and with much more velocity than he did. It's hard to blame Bogarts on that ball. Like, I disagree with Uke on that.
I do, too.
So that is on the outfielder. Get your ass on the play and get the ball in. That one, you know what happened? The Red Sox got their pants pulled down on that play. They got pantsed. That was embarrassing.
He got caught in between. Ref Snyder was caught. He didn't know if he should gun it into a cutoff man or, you know, what he was doing exactly. Like, I totally agree.
And no
if
offense.
If Bogarts comes up with that cleanly, the run's scoring anyway.
It's not.
You go back and
watch. Yeah, because he threw it so soft.
Right.
Yeah, if you gun the ball in, you get the guy at the plate.
Yeah, right. And no offense, it's not Ricky Henderson on the bases either. You know, it's like, I mean, maybe he runs okay, but it's not exactly like, you know, some speed demon out there tearing up the bases.
I want to ask Tony, too, and this is maybe a little nitpicky. There's a lot of different ways to play defense, and I know at the major leagues it's different than, you know, the levels that we played, right? Who cares? You know, oh, great. Here's a sticker. You played in college or whatever. There's two outs, and the guy's running, and he's vacating his position. I think it was it Downs at second base last night?
Yeah. Jeter Downs is
that always the case? That you would always sort of vacate the spot with two outs? Because sometimes with two outs, we used to play it like kind of like wait a second longer. And then, you know, we're just looking to get the out.
Yeah, so look, it depends on what their defensive structure is on that play, Paul. And when I say that, I mean there are teams that will always run the second baseman out there. There are teams that will run the shortstop out there because the shortstop will be the cutoff. And the second baseman will cover the bag because the shortstop's
going to
be
going
better
for the ball, the batted ball. Because Downs was covering second low was running on the pitch.
Okay.
So Downs left second base and was running. That's why it barely got by him. He dove, but
he took
a couple of steps towards second to cover, retreated, back, dove, and just missed knocking it down.
So like what's your point? He shouldn't have been covering?
I'm wondering.
You covered the bag.
This is more of a question. You were a middle infielder 100 years ago.
So although now that you mentioned, with two outs, maybe he doesn't move. Ball's got to be in play.
We used to play it sometimes. You sort of like wait a second longer and see if the ball gets put in play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's a good point. I didn't even notice that part of the play, Paul. It's a good point.
And you got a young guy.
We always covered second in Little League. That's what we always did.
No, but his point is
in Vermont.
We always made sure to cover the
when
bag.
When the ball's
11 and 12 year olds.
When the ball's put in play, you may not need to cover the bag anyway. Either strikes out or he walks or like what's the difference?
Right. You know, it wasn't a 3-2 count, so I'm not. It was a steal, and it turned out to be a perfectly executed hit and run, and it might have had nothing at all to do with Jeter Downs. I'm just sort of throwing that out there.
Yeah, the bottom line is, even if that mistake was made, it should have been first and third. Okay, they gave up a run on it.
Right.
Because they had their heads up their ass.
Inexcusable.
Yeah, so independent of that, they had their heads up their asses. So, and this has happened, you know, there've been drop pop-ups, thrown to the wrong base, guys throwing the ball all over the field. Too much of that crap's going on. Allen in Florida. Oops, sorry. Hit the wrong button. Allen in Florida, go.
Hey, Monday I tried to reach you, but I don't know what happened. But anyway, I wanted to congratulate you and Felga. You were gonna, I was gonna anoint you into the Dan Duquette Hall of Fame. You know that they were 13-13 with the Yankees, and they can play with anyone, and they got a, you know, they're great, and they're, oh my God, this team. Mavs, today you're making a little more sense. This team stinks, and I'm so sick of hearing about June when they beat Oakland, and they didn't even sweep them, and they beat Cincinnati, and they beat the horrible Angels.
St. Louis.
Come on, you know that.
They beat St. Louis, they beat Houston.
They won two out of three out of St. Louis, yeah, big deal.
Houston. And,
okay, yeah, they beat the Houston 2 out of 3, too. Okay, I'll give you that. But the majority of the games, you know, were with the junk. And the problem with this team, like I said, since January, fourth place, make the playoffs, it's because the league itself stinks. And that's, you know, there's two teams, Yankees and Houston, and where else are we going in the American League with this team?
Okay, so, Alan, that's fair. It's a weak league, which is why if they somehow miss the playoffs, it'll be an embarrassment. It'll be an embarrassment. I want to close the loop on Trevor's story, which I never did.
You gave the big market tease.
Right. Yes. People are just on pins and needles.
But first, Alex in a car on Trevor's story. Go ahead, Alex.
Longer tease.
Hey, Tony Mazz, I thought you were supposed to be the smart baseball guy, but apparently not. Trevor's story is arguably the best defensive shortstop or second baseman in all of baseball, statistically, for his career. Xander Bogaerts, less than average. You know,
yes, correct. So, Alex, you're responding to the question I asked these guys before the break, which was, I said, defensively, can Trevor Story replace Xander Bogaerts? Paul said yes. Adam Jones said yes. I said no, that I don't think so. And that's what you're reacting to, right?
Absolutely. That's a ridiculous take.
Okay, did you hear why I said no?
No, what's your reasoning?
Okay, that's because I haven't said it yet. Yeah, that's because I haven't said it yet. So I just let him go. Have you guys watched him throw? Have you watched him throw?
I mean, I guess, yeah. I haven't noticed anything.
Okay, he made a throw the other day, and I can't remember if it was to third base or the plate, on a cutoff or relay plate. The ball had nothing on it. Nothing. And I'm starting to worry that this issue with Trevor Story's elbow is permanent. So the whole thing in Colorado last year was that he had an elbow problem, and aside from the fact that he hit 234, whatever the hell he hit last year, 251, and his OPS went down, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, blah, 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 there was concern about his elbow. And you know what? As I've watched it more and more, I don't see arm strength. I'm not sure he can play on the left side of the diamond anymore. I need to see more of this. So again, it might change. And maybe we'll get a better idea. Even on double plays, okay? Even on double plays, I don't feel like the ball's gunned over there. And a lot of times, they're bounced on the first. I say a lot of times, okay? Like, work with me. I'm not saying every time. But when he tries to get something on it, I feel like he throws it into the turf a little bit. And so I can't tell you that I'm 100% right, because God knows that I never am. Like, that's a big ask. But I haven't seen great arm strength from him at second base. And so this whole idea of let's just put him in shortstop and replace Bogaerts, range-wise, everybody's right. Covers way more ground. Okay? I think Bogaerts is fine. He's not great, but I think he's average. And I think he generally handles what he gets to. So, and he's accurate with his throws for the most part, although Bogaerts made a bad throw to the plate the other night.
Yeah.
Where he airmailed it over Vasquez's head. So, and I'm a Bogaerts guy. I like Bogaerts, but he's an offensive player. I'm under no delusion about what Xander Bogaerts is. But Trevor Story's arm, everybody who thinks he can play shortstop, pay more attention to the throws. Just pay more attention to it.
Well, and all I would add, too, is, okay, fine, so he is an upgrade at shortstop over Bogaerts, even if, you know, me and Paul are right. Okay, fine, he's an upgrade defensively. So what? He's still a downgrade overall.
Yeah, he's not.
So I don't want him to replace him, but defensively he might be an upgrade. I still think it's a net downgrade.
Thank you, Jones.
Well,
which
that was
another
my thing. Point, too. I don't think this is even close with the offense.
The point is, if the money's equal, do you make the trade? Would you trade Bogaerts for Story if the money were equal?
I wouldn't.
Okay, so then it's a money thing.
Yeah, I don't even make the trade with the money being what we think the money's going to be. I'd still rather have Bogaerts.
So again, these people that say you'd rather have Story than Bogaerts, like, no, you'd rather have Story than Bogaerts for the money.
He really has learned from Felger. Like, when he asked us the question, it was specifically defensively.
Yep.
Can he replace Bogarts defensively? And we said we thought he could.
Most people are stupid, Paul.
Second time around, you changed it a little bit, just like you did with that like confidence in Belichick, Mac Jones thing from earlier.
Paul, do you understand how people rob banks? They create a diversion. That's what they do. They create
it's an
a diversion.
Of contention.
That's right. It's an illusion of contention. There you go. We'll continue with your phone calls when we come back on Felger and Matt.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're not playing good baseball right now. A lot of mistakes, you know, and it's costing us games. And, you know, we need to start playing better baseball if we want to be the team that we envision in spring training.
We'll get back to the calls here. That's Alex Cora, who sounds frustrated by the way his team has been playing. Paul Perillo, Patriots.com is here. Adam Jones as well. Felger's off. Murray's off. Let me ask you guys quickly before we get back to the phones. How much do you put any of this on Cora and how much? Paul?
I don't put any of it on Cora at all. I mean, I think they are banged up, but, you know, some of the things, you know, this is like, you know, we talk about the Belichick stuff with the coaching, and I think that when teams are not penalized in the NFL, it's a well-coached team, you know. And, you know, they get a couple of punts blocked, and all of a sudden it's a poorly coached team. That play last night where Ref Snyder takes too long to get it in, he lobs it. I mean, do you think that's something that has been gone over, or, you know, or is that an indication of poor coaching?
No. Look, in and of itself, in a vacuum, I'd say the player brain locked.
Right.
But they've had a lot of lapses.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, when they keep happening, then, yes.
So you're saying there's no accountability? And maybe that's why.
No, I'm saying they've lost focus, Paul. That's what I'm saying. The team has lost focus.
I think the team maybe has lost some focus. And I think maybe there's some frustration, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Some of that's on Cora. I don't know how much, and I don't think he's like the biggest problem, and I'm not firing him like the caller yesterday to the baseball hour. But, yeah, some of it's on him, I think.
Definitely. And when I say some of it's on him, like, I'm not telling you he should be, again, fired or anything like that, or that I put him at the top of the list. But if I were Cora, I'd be looking at it right now going, you guys are making me look bad. You're making me look bad. And I don't know if you have a team meeting or, like, I don't believe in any of that crap. I think that stuff gets overplayed. But whoever his guy is on the roster, that it's Bogarts or whatever, and I'm sure he has one because every team does. There's a guy that the manager, you know, connects with that is a pressure point in the locker room. You go to that guy and you say, hey, we got to focus tonight. Can we get that message across to everybody? And you don't have to be right, you know, there's no door slamming or table flipping or any of that. But you just say, listen, I need to talk to you. Come on in. You know, we got to get everybody focused here. We got 4 games to go. We need to win a couple of them and get our legs under us. Okay, so can we try to do that? Or maybe you address the team in that way quickly before the game. Whatever it is, something like that. Too many of these mistakes lately. Go back to the Yankee game. They're dropping pop-ups. And I know some of it is the roster, but, you know, regardless of whether it's the roster, you can't just write it off and say, well, that's okay, keep doing it.
Well, that was the best part of what Cora had to say after the game last night. It wasn't in that clip there, but Cora's like, look, I mean, look at Tampa. They're all banged up. They have a million injuries. We just got back Chris Sale. Tyler Glasnow has been out for them all year long. They're down Franco. They're down Kiermaier. They're down, you know, a bunch of guys. And they're still playing hard. They're still winning baseball games. We're not. So, guys, wake up.
Yeah, I put it more on the players. And the reason why I feel like if it was, you know, more, you know, you're mixing and matching and you're not pulling the right strings, manager, you know, you're going with a lefty in an unconventional spot, it blows up on you, or you yank the starter too early, and that I put on the manager. You know, he's in a slump. You know, some of his moves aren't panning out. I can't put the fact that Franchi Cordero can't run in from first base and catch a pop-up on the manager. This is what you gave him. He's got Dahlbeck and Cordero are first baseman. Neither one of them can play at a major league level defensively.
Paul, right? Again,
I can't blame that on Cora. And I agree with you guys. It's happened a lot lately.
Yeah,
I just
to me,
can't put those kinds of mistakes on a manager.
But to me, the when you keep throwing to the wrong bases, that is on the manager. When you're missing pop-ups like Cordero can't catch a pop-up, well, then he can't catch a pop-up. That's not on Cora. Throwing to the wrong bases feels like it's a little more on the coaching staff and the manager.
I just tell you this. The team's lost focus. They're not, you know, they're not focused right now. Maybe it's fatigue, end of the half, whatever it is, a bunch of games in a bunch of days, whatever the number is, the tougher competition, all of it, you add it up, they're not focused on the details. And so, to me, ultimately, the manager's got to rein that in. Like, and when I say rein it in, it's a subtle thing, but it is, you know, guys, let's focus, please. We got four games to go. Let's play four good games, and then you get 4 days off. So there, you know, I'm not telling you, I'm not blaming Cora.
No, I know you're not.
But you can't, but you can't leave him off the list. You cannot leave him off the list. Phil's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, guys. What happens when that person, that clubhouse guy that Cora has to go to, is the guy that you haven't signed yet, which is Xander Bogaerts. And, you know, by all accounts, he's supposed to be our clubhouse leader, the heartbeat of the team. So you need to sign Xander. And story, you're 100% right, Maz.
Okay, Phil, hold on 1 second. So you're telling me that Xander Bogaerts has the right to tune out because he doesn't have a contract beyond this season? It's okay for him?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so
morale is down, though, when you do things like that. So,
I would tell you, morale's down when you lose. That's when morale's down. If you win, everybody's happy. Anyway, go ahead quickly on Story.
On the long term, what I see with Story too is he's barely a second baseman. The arm is not there. In the long term, Xander's going to end up being a third baseman because he's barely a shortstop. You have Marcelo Meyer coming up. Devers is an elite bat. You got to sign him. You got to get your house cleaned up. If you want your team to play for each other, you got to clean the house up. And
okay,
That's what I see. I see guys just distracted and playing like garbage. That guy in right field looked like...
Yeah, they weren't distracted 3 weeks ago. Like, I don't want to hear that one. Like, it lets them off the hook for playing bad. You got to get your house in order. So it's management's fault that they can't catch pop-ups? Now, you want to say that Franchi Cordero shouldn't be playing first base? Fine. Rob Refsnyder doesn't know what base to throw to? Or Alex Verdugo doesn't know how to run the bases that when the third baseman's standing there, you could get picked off? So that one's got nothing to do with the GM. He had his head up his ass. Like, let's not make the players exempt from everything either. That's ridiculous. So there's equal blame, plenty of blame to go around. Like, you know, they got to get their house in order. They were 18-4 in June at one point. How come they didn't have to get their house in order then? That's not it. You don't just because you're in a free agent year doesn't mean you can write it off. I mean, that's ridiculous. Now, the Bogaerts thing, he's not a shortstop. The other one that goes right up my ass is we got Marcelo Meyer coming. When? 3 years from now?
Yeah.
He was a high school kid. So what's he going to be in the big leagues next year? I got plenty of baseball to play before Marcelo effing Meyer gets here. Like, we got Marcelo Meyer coming. This is what I hate about prospects in baseball. Because he was the number four pick in the draft. Yeah, we got Marcelo Meyer coming. Really? When's he coming? 2025? End of 2024? And when he gets here, is he going to be an all-star?
Yeah.
Is he going to be polished, ready product? Mm-hmm. Or is he actually going to have to learn how to play the game for a little while? Mike Trout, as a rookie, sucked. He wasn't good at the end of his rookie season. So, like, you know, this idea, we got Marcelo Meyer coming. How far down the road is that? They drafted him at age 18. I hate that argument. Like, if the kid's on the cusp, he's Tristan Cassis, fine. Yes, you've got Cassis coming. He should be here maybe in September, and then you'll see him next spring. He should get a job on the big league club next spring. No problem. Should. But it doesn't mean he will.
Do you think that's how they're thinking? You think that's how Bloom thinks?
Like, no. But again, Jones, I'm not really talking about the team. I'm talking about the fan base.
No, I understand. I'm asking you. Do you think the team thinks that way about it? Like, well, we're a little hesitant to go there with Bogarts because we have him on the way.
No, I think the team believes that they're going to replace. But, you know, Cassis and Bogarts obviously aren't the same position. So, you know, but the point is, do they think we have middle of the bats coming? Middle of the order bats coming? Yeah, they think that. I think they also know that Tristan Cassis might not be a middle of the order bat right away when he gets here. Rafi Devers wasn't. That took a while. So I just, people are so cavalier about, okay, yes, they drafted a kid number four last year. He was 18 effing years old. Good God, that's so annoying. I don't know why that bugs me so much.
But what if they thought
that one drives me crazy.
Story keeps the seat warm for Meyer.
Story can't throw.
Okay, but what if they think that was the reason? Is that where you're going with that,
Jones? Yeah, kind of, yeah.
You know, what does Bloom think of? What did you say?
Is he bailing you out now?
No, 2025.
No, yeah. we're teaming up.
Is that what you said? 2025?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
So you know, you let Bogarts go. Story plays short for a year, maybe two, and then the kid's ready.
Okay, but Story's got a 6-year contract.
No, but my point is, maybe that's what that would worry me if that's what they were thinking. And this kid's that far away.
Yeah. So again, when Marcelo Mayer is ready to play, they'll find a place for him. They'll find a place. That's assuming he can play at all. Just because he was the number four pick in the draft, don't assume that either. Oh, God, that drives me bananas. I can't, seriously.
No, we've noticed.
Top of the hour, no commercials.
Don't worry, Maz. When Mayer's ready, the Red Sox will be paying the Dodgers for Trevor Story's contract, so don't worry.
There you go, Jimmy. You could trade Story.
It took me too long to get to the line. I'll shut up now.
Okay, Jones has got your headlines. I went over already. When we come back, I want to continue with the Red Sox because a lot of you lined up. I want to get back to the Patriots as well. We do have a comment from Pavel Zaka. Concerning a conversation he had right after signing. What's he chuckling about over there? What are you laughing at?
I said, oh, cool. Pavel Zaka, nice.
Jones cracks me up.
No, I know. It's the peanut gallery responses here. He's a total pain in the ass.
I love Jones.
I do too, actually.
Need more Jones.
I kind of like him. Jones, get your head.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.